Hello, Joshua P. Warren here. This is Joshua P. Warren Daily, and I just got back in from a long night meeting with many great friends. Oh boy, lots of beer, lots of wine. We had a great time, though, and I told you I was going to meet with an old friend, and he gave me permission to tell you who he is. Well, I met tonight with Mark Ellis Bennett, and I have known him tonight, gosh, close to 23 years, I guess, if you want to do all the math. When I was 18, Mark contacted me because he had seen some of the articles that I wrote in the Asheville Citizen Times about paranormal phenomena. And Mark, at that time, was a great infrared and ultraviolet photographer using film. That's kind of a lost art. I mean, it's a lot easier these days to do infrared photography using digital technology, but still, UV is kind of tough. So over the years, Mark and I have had many adventures. As a matter of fact, Mark took most of the pictures in my book, Haunted Asheville, which was the first book of Asheville ghost stories ever published, but we went to the Grow Park Inn. I was hired there and to do investigations, and he was hired there to be a restoration artist. And it's funny because when we were in room 545, where they say the pink lady haunts the place, Mark took some really weird photographs that show what appears to be a little figure, you know, standing in the room. And then we went up to Brown Mountain at one point, where the Brown Mountain lights are seen, and had an amazing display of the Brown Mountain lights. And he photographed the whole thing using infrared film. And it's one of those things where you'd wait for days, you know, like a kid on Christmas Eve, to see how the pictures were going to turn out. And when the pictures came out, they were all completely overexposed. And you know, Mark is a real expert. I mean, he could take a filter that's a visually opaque, that looks like a black piece of glass, but he could still always get a great picture because he knew all the settings and all the equations. So when he got a picture of Brown Mountain, when the lights were appearing, and it turned out to be completely overexposed, that gave me a lot of information about what was happening at Brown Mountain, because it told me, okay, these things are producing an enormous amount of infrared light. So anyway, I could go on and on about adventures I've had with Mark Ellis Bennett. So tonight he said, hey, I have something that I want to show you from outer space. And we got together at a restaurant in Nashville, and he was telling me that he was recently in England, in London, England. And now Mark is practically a gemologist. I mean, he knows all about gems and minerals, much more than I do. And he said that there was a guy at this gem and mineral exhibit who had the most extraordinary display. And so Mark is looking at all of the guy's gems and minerals, but Mark, being Mark, looked at the ring the guy was wearing in London, and he said, what is that on your ring? And the guy said, oh, well, that's carbonado. Carbonado, that's it. Yeah, carbonado. And Mark said, what the heck is carbonado? And he said, oh, well, this is the space diamond. And, of course, Mark had never heard of it. I'd never heard of it till he told me about it. Turns out, according to most experts, billions and billions of years ago, even before the Earth itself was formed, they believe that a red dwarf super novaed. It became a supernova and just spewed these particles all throughout the universe. And eventually, some of them came raining down on the surface of Earth. Now, a regular diamond, like that you might buy and use as a wedding ring or an engagement ring, they're clear, and they come from the mantle of the Earth. But these are the exact same thing, but they're space diamonds that have gone soaring through space for billions of years. And you can tell the difference because a regular diamond is within the Earth, and the carbonado are only at very particular places on the surface of the Earth. But they're both diamonds. It's the same thing. And so the guy took a handful of these. He said to Mark, just put your hand out. Took a little leather pouch, dumped a handful of those in Mark's hand, and he said, squeeze this. Crunch this around in your hands and see what this feels like. See what it sounds like, because this is the feeling. This is the sound of diamonds, a whole group of diamonds all rubbing against each other. And I asked Mark, I said, what did it sound like? What does it feel like? And he said, I can't really explain it. He said, there's nothing else in the world that's quite like it. So Mark obviously was so overcome that he decided to purchase one of these carbonado gems from this man. And Mark told me that after that, he was at the Asheville Masonic Temple, and they were having a gem and mineral show, and there was a guy there from De Beers. And that the guy from De Beers had a bunch of diamonds. And Mark started telling him about his experience with the carbonado gems. And the guy says, well, here, compare it. And the guy put a handful, God knows how much it was worth, guy put a handful of these gems in Mark's hand. I told Mark, I was like, good thing you're not like a little sleight of hand magician, huh? You know, put one of these in your mouth. Mark took a handful of these things and he crunched them together and he said it was almost the same experience. The only difference was the earth diamonds had this higher pitch that they made because they were smaller. Whereas the carbonado, the black diamonds from space, they have a much, you know, duller, more bassy type of sound. So he pulls one of these things out and shows it to me. And honestly, at first glance, it looked kind of like a little piece of coal, which, of course, it, you know, makes sense because it's carbon, right? Has it just a deep black with a shiny gleam all around it. Amazing when you sit there and you look at something like that and you hold it in your hand and you think this came from a supernova before Earth was even formed. So Mark's, you know, blowing my mind with this, you know, amazing little thing. But I knew that we were going to go there and try to do show and tell. So I said, hey, I have something to show you. My Schwartz is as big as your Schwartz. And that's actually not entirely correct, but that was sort of, you know, you get the picture. So I pull a leather pouch out of my pocket. Now, what do you think was in that leather pouch that I had in my pocket. Well, my good friend, Santero Longley, who lives in Puerto Rico, and God bless him, I haven't heard from him since this hurricane occurred. I'm not that worried, though, because I think, you know, he just has not gotten the connectivity. I'm sure he's in fine shape. Santero Longley came to me a few years ago, and he said, you know, Josh, there are very few places on the planet where you can get good gems and minerals. And he said, I can't find anything usually that's worthwhile here in Puerto Rico. But Asheville, North Carolina, is right in the heart of what many consider one of the premier areas of North America to find amazing gems and minerals. And he said, I would like to have a Herkimer diamond. A Herkimer diamond that I can hold in my hand when I meditate. Now, if you've never heard of a Herkimer diamond, I'm not, you know, exactly proficient in how these things are made, but basically they're named after Herkimer County in New York State. These are crystals that are double terminated. They have a point at both ends, and they turn out that way naturally. And there are a few other places on the planet where these things, you know, are able to form, but nothing as good as what you get in New York State. So he said, I want a Herkimer diamond that is as big as an egg, that's got some heft to it, that I can hold in my hand when I'm doing meditation. And so I said, hey, I will find one for you. So Lauren and I went all over North Carolina looking for Herkimer diamonds. And I got on the internet and I looked all over, and I educated myself about the best Herkimer diamonds and how they look. And I finally found a Herkimer diamond that was as big as an egg, that had the heft of an egg, for Santero Longley. And I brought it back to him, and oh my God, I don't know that you could have made that man more happy. He said, this is the most amazing thing. I'm going every day to sit down and meditate with it. But in the midst of my search for a Herkimer diamond, I came across a Herkimer diamond that was not as big as an egg, but was just absolutely beautiful and clear, and the most beautiful example I'd ever seen of a Herkimer diamond. And I passed up on it the first time I saw it because I was shopping for David Santero Longley, and it just, you know, it wasn't as big as he was looking for, but I could not get that darn Herkimer diamond off my mind. It was just such a beautiful, clear specimen. And so after I got Santero Longley's Herkimer, I went back and I thought, man, I hope they still have that Herkimer diamond. And yes, I bought it from a gem shop in North Carolina. They still had it. And it is one of the most beautiful Herkimer diamonds you're ever going to see. Nice, just perfectly double terminated, clear. You look at it, you roll it around, it has rainbows shooting through it. It's one of my most prized possessions, this Herkimer diamond. I take it with me wherever I go. So I took this Herkimer diamond out tonight, and I said, here is my Schwartz. And I handed it to Mark, and Mark just marveled over it for 15 or so minutes. And he said, yes, you're right. He said, I know Herkimer diamonds, and this is a fantastic specimen. So basically, we're talking about things that have been around for millions, billions of years. You can't even imagine that.
his stuff from outer space to the thing that I produced and showed him from the Earth. Just absolutely incredible, incredible specimens of what Mother Nature can produce. And so it was a good show and tell. Let me put it that way. He showed me something amazing. I showed him something he thought was amazing. And is there anything necessarily paranormal about all this? Well, maybe. Maybe. Because I think that if you have these gems that are created by so much time, so much patient pressure over periods that we can't even imagine, that there must be some kind of form created there that maybe captures a sense of the universe that we can't even come close to understanding within that little blip of time that we live here on this earth. So, you know, it was a great night. It was a fun night. Tomorrow night, I'm meeting with some more friends who are paranormal investigators who also have some cool stuff to share with me. So I will be giving you an update on that and what happens in that meeting. So, you know, I'm happy that, you know, I'm presuming you are as interested as I am in this idea that sometimes you take a sample from Mother Earth, or you take a sample from the universe, from outer space, and you can use that sample as an antenna, as a transducer, as something that you can use to tap in to greater, more ancient powers. So I think you understand what I'm talking about. All right, my friends, that's it for tonight. I'll give you another update tomorrow. Thank you for listening. Thank you for staying curious. Oh, and by the way, I'm having trouble sometimes tweeting these podcasts. I don't know if it's T-Mobile, my provider, or if it's my phone, but sometimes I'm having trouble tweeting out updates, so be sure to subscribe through iTunes or Stitcher or something like that so you get an update. Just go to joshuapwarren.com, click the link at the top, and you'll go in and be able to see the podcast. And again, you can do it through iTunes or Stitcher or whatever so that you get the alert. All right, talk to you later.